minute. Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 149. Happy Friday, Tommy Jacket.
Yes, it is eve of our 150th. Actually, not eve, because we've got to go through the weekend to get to Monday. But, mate, I was just thinking, how many shows have we weathered now since you've been away?
I don't know.
How long have you been away
25?
For? 25? You've been away for a bit over a month.
I've been, yeah, it would be, I would say probably 20 plus episodes we've done remotely.
Crazy. I actually can't believe we haven't missed one. It's full on.
It's putting the pressure on. Like today I've started getting sick.
Oh.
And so I'm happy that it's happening now on a Friday. So I have Saturday, Sunday to sort of recover.
I'm hearing some blame of the Daily Talk Show for your sickness. Is that what you're saying?
No, everyone's been getting blame. And when I get sick, Bree gets so upset with me.
Why?
Because she's been sick for about a week. And then with like a sore throat and coughing up blood, all good stuff like that. But all of a sudden, JJ starts getting a niggle in his throat and the world's ending.
Oh, I
feel like a... Yeah.
I've heard you say this. It's the man flu at scale.
Yeah.
It's like you're the least manly
like a massive
man. You're least
man
manly
baby.
Man. And then for some reason, you start beating your chest like a silverback. You get a bit of a cold.
I don't know. No, it's just I don't handle it that well. That's okay. It's good for me to be sick rather than you, because normally you've been sick so much lately. So I'm happy to take one for the team.
Well, I have been, and it was a little bit of something creeping in. And then I was filming with Craig Harper, who was sick. He's been sick for a couple of weeks as well. It's just it's no good. Everyone. It's very hard.
You can't say it's the season because we're in completely different parts of the world.
No, it's definitely the season here because it's winter and there's something going around.
Yeah.
But I know I've got that sore throaty thing when I've been traveling, because it's not like you've been busy. You run down. You get run down from just being, getting up early, walking a lot.
Yeah.
Like you're exerting more energy than you do in Melbourne. And you're walking around.
Yeah, it sounds like a dumb thing to complain about. But yeah, I definitely feel it. We went to Auschwitz today. And so that was one of those sort of experiences where it takes a lot of energy. Like you're thinking about it. You're processing all these like horrendous things.
What's
that,
the vibe like?
That happened. Yeah, well, it's like when you go on the bus is about an hour and a half from... you're driving for an hour and a half from Krakow, and you watch like the tour that we did. Basically, you're watching a documentary at the start, which was a good way of doing it because, like, just with the lack of knowledge that I have on everything, it sort of fills in all the gaps, so you have a bit of an understanding. But the vibe, it was intense what they were talking about and everything like that, but it's done in a way where there's so many sort of, they've got photography, they've got like it's like a museum, right? So they've got so many examples of they've got just like the thing that I found probably the most moving was the hair. So all the people who had their the Jews that had their heads shaved, there was like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe how much hair. There was just like this humongous pile of hair that they've actually preserved.
Holy shit.
And so it was things like that. So it was like the hair, there was like shoes, like so many like old shoes and glasses. And basically what would happen was the Jews were told to bring their things. And what happened when they arrived was... all of their stuff got taken and got put into what was known, I think it was like Canada shops, and it was basically like prosperity shops, and they would go through and clean up all of the jewelry and stuff like that, and they would sell it and also send it back to Germany and stuff like that for people to wear. So, I mean, I knew nothing about all of this stuff. So, it was, it was super interesting.
It's crazy. And who's running the tour? Is it a German person?
It's a Polish person, and they've got so much sort of background on all of the different stories, and there's all these rules that have been created by the the victims' families, where, for instance, there's no restriction on how many people can go to Auschwitz. So when we went, it was really crowded. So basically, they when they were creating those rules, they never expected that they'd have the sort of interest that they have today. So our tour guide was actually saying that there'll probably be a point where they have to re-look at those types of things.
Yeah, too many people going. It's like Alcatraz. So many people at Alcatraz. I mean, they see it as it's making money for them. I wonder who owns the land, or is it like the government that...
Well, yeah, so there's a body who looks after and sort of the preservation of the whole area. But I think the thing that I wasn't aware of was that there's a place called Birkenau, which is the sort of the second concentration camp, but it's way, way bigger, and that's where basically the mass killings, the mass murders happened, where Jews were put into gas chambers and killed. It was interesting sort of, getting a sense of the history and how it started and how it sort of incrementally got worse almost as it was going on. Because at the beginning, it wasn't sort of the gassing of Jews. At the beginning, that came a bit later, as they were almost like rushing to get it all done.
Oh, God. I went to school with a guy who told me that his grandma was from over there, and she had a tattoo on her arm, which with like a number from the camp. I think they gave it to you. I think she survived.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
Yes. So there's only a few people that have that, because basically that happened, I believe, in the earlier days when it was just Auschwitz, before they'd built out the second camp. Because by the end of it, there was, I think it was something like there was only, in some cases, only a few days between when you would arrive and then when you were killed.
Yeah.
So I think there was over a million people were killed basically in these camps, and so by the end of it, none of the Jews who were murdered in Birkenau in the second camp, none of them had the tattoos, none of them had the official photos taken. That was more political prisoners and people sort of against the Nazi regime, who had that.
Because not everyone went to Auschwitz. There was like ghettos that were created that were like almost compounds with, like in Krakow. I was listening to a woman recently on a podcast, and just this horrible story of they used to hide during the day up in the roof, and there was a family, and there was a bunch of adults and then two babies, and some Germans came to inspect the house, because they're always, they're looking for people that aren't meant to be there. They're looking for, Jewish people, and the baby started crying, and they had to put the pillows over the baby's faces, and they didn't survive, because otherwise everyone would have died.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, those ghettos were all around the occupied, like throughout Europe, where Germany was occupying, and people went up to, like, it took 9 days to get to the concentration camps, and so they weren't told, the the Jews didn't know that that's, you know, that they were going to be going there for one, to be murdered, or two, even they weren't told that they were going into a concentration camp. They actually, they thought, okay, like anything can be better than the ghettos that they were in at the time. And so, yeah, it's like, I feel like I'm only just scratching the surface, and this, I just, it made me realize how much I want to dig in and find out more and to learn.
The thing is, there's so many good podcasts that delve into this history. It's I've been quite liking getting into history, listening to some new podcasts. I want to listen to one about the war. Like, this stuff fascinates me. My grandfather was in World War II, and he was born in 1904, 1905. So he was fucking nearly born in the 1800s, which is crazy.
Yeah,
And he was captured by the Japanese, and he was a prisoner of war for 2.5 years. And unbelievable. But, like, I remember him telling me stuff about it, very much top-line stuff, but I've been told more from my father, my dad, and my auntie about it. But just, like, yeah, it's savage. It's like my point of it is, like, history, this shit went on, it's so far from our reality. I wanted to talk to you about how they've had a bit of an update, actually, on the area that you and I occupy here in Melbourne, Collingwood. That's where our office is. But there's a there's been, it just shows you the difference, switching gear, theage.com. 30 km/h speed zones to be enforced in Melbourne's inner north. They're changing, Josh, in Collingwood and Fitzroy. They're doing it in residential areas.
What a segue. I mean, this is what I hate about the project, is that they talk about serious shit, and then they somehow do a sort of this giggle, this awkward giggle. It's like, okay, change of pace now.
Yeah,
and then they go into a, like,
I mean, 100% is a gear shift for something like this. I mean, we're not do it. We can't do a whole episode on on your day. But I'm sure. I hope that we get a food update, because Josh's food diary. I wouldn't mind to hear a bit.
Say a food update?
Yeah, you haven't done a food diary update.
I have. I didn't eat that much. Though. I did have a burger from a New Zealand burger place, which was good. But no, 30 km/h. So whereabouts? Is this just in Collingwood?
Yeah, so they're saying just in Collingwood. Speeds will drop 30 km/h on residential streets in Collingwood and Fitzroy from September in a move to be an Australian first. It's understood that it will serve as a test case, and the new speed limit could be proposed for other areas in Melbourne. It's interesting because my friend did a poll. This isn't pooling all of Australia. This is just my friend's Instagram feed. So
just his small. How many followers has he got?
He's actually got over 3,000. So he's classed as an influencer. Okay. And 17% have come in and said yes. And a big whopping 83% of people have said no, they don't want this. It's such a funny thing. It's like the bags doing a good thing for the environment, or that's the intended sell on the banning of plastic bags, and then 30 km zones. The thing that pops to mind when I hear about these 30 km zones and the sell of helping save lives by reducing the amount of, you know, people getting hit, because you're basically crawling down a street at 30k. You could stop.
Yeah.
Anything runs out, you could stop. A bloody ball goes under your you could slam on the brakes. I got done. I got done a couple of 4 weeks ago. No, probably 8 weeks ago. Remember how we finished up doing the Craig Harper?
Yeah, well, I was there. Yeah.
Oh man,
I remember that.
So I was.
You actually got pulled over.
So yeah, I took off from a set of lights. And I just wasn't thinking. I went from stationary, and I accelerated up, and I was going past my mate's house. And I was like, oh, that's my mate's house. And then all of a sudden, I see this highway patrol car pull me in, and it was a school zone. The school wasn't out. It was like just gone 2:45 or something like that, and I got done for going like 20 k's above the limit, which was still under what that road normally is. And I was just like, as soon as I pulled in, they just like got another person. They were waiting in this spot where they knew people would just accelerate over the limit from standing. Like,
so if people are voting that way, do you think that they're not doing a good enough job in communicating why it is important?
100%. Well, I think I know there is already 40 speed limits in Collingwood, and I just what annoys me is just the approach of the police when they could spend the fucking money on having flashing lights that tell you to slow the fuck down. I think it would be more effective than them standing with a gun and just getting people and doing their revenue raising, because that's all people think it is, right? When cops are just out trying to get people.
So from the other side of it, is there? I guess there's the argument of those police are the ones who are going to road trauma incidents and pulling people out of cars and stuff like that. I just think it's probably an education piece. I found it interesting when in Germany, how many people were riding bikes and not wearing helmets. Just there was not a helmet in sight.
It's not legal. I was just like, you don't have to, right?
Yeah. But that's what's interesting. It's like, even if it's not legal...
Not illegal, sorry.
Like, not illegal to not wear a helmet. Surely, if the science is there, if the data's there in regards to saying, okay, you know, you are X amount more likely to die or to have head injuries if you're not wearing a helmet, I just find it super interesting that you can go to a different place. And I was like, I wonder if I went to Germany... If I would like and was riding a bike, whether I would wear a helmet or not.
Well, I think the numbers show that those places, I don't think people are actually. I mean, if you're not wearing a helmet and wearing a helmet, it's pretty clear you'll have a worse head injury than if you aren't wearing a helmet. It's like,
yeah,
it's going to happen. But you're right. I think there's probably more people riding bikes over there and having less issues with this stuff. But I see what you're saying. I think it's their approach, because the interactions with the police are just, they don't care about, it doesn't seem like there's a care factor for other people, and that's the sell of it, which is why they're reducing it so that they can save people's lives. But their contribution to it is literally just to catch people. Like, you should have seen this scene, dude. The cop, and I said to him, "Sorry, mate, what's the problem?" And I kind of leaned out the window before he got right up to me. You know what he fucking did? He grabbed this... What? He grabbed his, like, lapel of his shirt and pressed this thing. Yeah. And he turned on a recording device and he said, "Yep." And he just looks down at my car and he's like, "Fucking... blah, 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 Tuscan, you know, Honda, Hyundai Tucson, white male," whatever it was. Probably didn't say white male. Yeah. It wasn't profiling me.
now you're fully just creating a story.
Yeah, I mean, it adds to it. But he was recording me because he thought that I would blow up. And I get that he probably gets bogans.
And you were going to blow up.
No. I was playing it. I was playing it cool. But I was like, what's happening? But he got on the defense, which I'm sure... He has to, because sometimes there's hotheads. But he was just like, nah. He was just... It was horrible. It was gross. And I wish now, looking back, that I actually... He was always going to give me the fine. That I really wanted to say, you realise that the money you're fucking charging people, that money could be spent on putting up a few more signs and flashing lights. Because I went back there and there was... fuck all signs saying that it was now a 40k sign, because I was on the side opposite to the school, which, I mean, this isn't about me denying.
I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, for me, I try and reflect personally in those situations, and I do a shit job most of the time, but I'm just like, okay, all I can control is the things that I can control. And so that is the speeding type thing. Like, I know when I was in Italy, I was paranoid because I was told all these stories where you'd just get basically a credit card charges from the rental car company or whatever when you get back from all the fines. We knew people who had like half a dozen fines that they came back to. So I don't know, but I guess the thing is that interaction that you had with that copper has resulted in you thinking more and being more aware of how fast you're going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when I was sitting in traffic and a cop knocked on my window and I was stationary, mind you, and I had my phone in my hand and I got a nearly $500 fine. And I can tell you, I don't do that shit anymore. 99% less. And I get it, that's the point of fines, right? But I also think that there would be a lot of people that wouldn't have this effect on. I don't think this is the exact result of what a fine does. People get pissed off. People are, you know, having habits. But look, if it's 30 kilometres, I'll drive the 30 kilometres because it becomes a law. But there will, I don't. So you're saying it's like, so there's someone or there's a group of people that are lobbying for this, and then what's their agenda on this? Like, is it purely the safety thing? Is that all it is? Or is it something to do with local government? I don't know, that they're trying to win over people with you know, like I was walking through St Kilda and there's like it must be a local election coming up. And they've all got their cell on, and you know, they hand out those flyers with, like, you know, the MP, local St Kilda MP, and this one guy.
All the dot points of what they're going to do type of thing.
I can't even remember this guy's name, but I looked at the flyer and I looked up at him and I was like, holy shit, that's you. And he said, yeah, that's me. I was just trolling him. And anyway, I walked off and I started reading the flyer. And his cell was CCTV being installed throughout Port Phillip, St Kilda. And I was like, They're selling in that there's going to be a few more cameras. It's like, geez. Yeah.
I feel like if I was a politician, I'd be real big on the CCTV.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
every bike has its own alarm.
Yeah, exactly. Good throwback. No, but I think that, I don't mind that idea of being watched and stuff. I feel safer if I know that there's like lots of security cameras. When I walk into buildings, I'm always looking out to where the cameras are. Even I'm quite paranoid. I think I've spoken about this already, especially going to the dodgier hotels. I'm sort of looking around, seeing if there's sort of any concealed cameras or any bullshit like that.
But in the rooms.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's probably a little bit paranoid. Did you hear about this this thing that's going around? I saw an Insta story about it from a friend. The Queen photograph. Have you heard about this?
No. What's happened to the Queen?
So basically, there's this this quirk, this parliamentary in this parliamentary rule book that means this is. I'm just reading off the Guardian here. Quirk of parliamentary rule book means Australians are entitled to pictures of the monarch, Prince Philip, and other nationhood material. So basically, because we're part of the Commonwealth, we can request a photo of the Queen through our MP and they give it to us for free.
Get stuff. That's so funny. Yeah. So
I feel like this is 100% something that you should get around. But Vice did an article about it, and now, like, the Guardian's sort of writing an article about the fact that MPs are being bombarded with requests for free portraits of the Queen.
Genius. Genius. I love this. So, you know how when you turn 100, this is the cell, you turn 100, you get a letter from the Queen. Yeah. Just to confirm, my grandfather, the same guy that was in prisoner of war, what a hero, survived it. Yeah. And then lived to 100 like a boss.
And got the letter?
Well, here's the thing. You don't just all of a sudden get a letter. You have to apply to get a letter. So we did apply. Our family did. Well, I didn't.
So the Queen isn't sending any friend requests. You've got to send the friend request to her.
Yeah.
And then she's going through and accepting or denying, or might keep you pending for a while, depending on if you're 98, 99.
I wonder if some of this shit will change, because there's some... Have you heard of, like, the crazy rules around the Queen? So I think it's you can't leave the dinner table until the Queen is finished. And so she has to call it a
night. I'm guessing that's only when you're eating with the queen, because otherwise, because I have no idea when the queen's finishing. So.
No, sorry, when you're in the presence of the queen, you can't leave. Yeah. We were talking about who the next queen was going to be, and it's a really complicated process because there won't be a queen for quite some time. So the next is a king. So it's crazy. And my brother and Amy were talking about this, and then we got into this full rabbit hole of trying to search and work it out. I won't even start trying to work it out for you. But go down that rabbit hole of working out who the next queen will be, when did this start, like the hierarchy, and just watching one of those period dramas from England is not enough. You need to actually find some real information. What's that? The Queen? What's that show? The Crown. The Crown. Fuck. Jeez, that show.
The royal stuff, people get really obsessed with it. One of the things that I was thinking when watching the documentaries on the Holocaust and all that sort of thing and being in Auschwitz today was I was thinking about what we put up with in society around, say, the rhetoric that's used by Donald Trump and some of the things that he says. And I was starting to think even about North Korea, and I'm like, you know what? There's these little patterns that start to emerge. You're like, hang on, how are some of these little things that, like, at the very beginning, this is what Hitler said, or this is, you know, you can see a pattern, and then you see in today's day and age, you start seeing leaders or people from other countries, you know, foreign leaders start using similar language or similar ideas. I think that I'm always someone, you know this, I'm pretty fence-sittery in a lot of things where I'm like, everyone's got their opinion. I'm not smart enough to really have an opinion, so I'm just going to sit on the fence and watch and ask questions, and then depending on what the topic is and what I've sort of come to the conclusion with based on what information I have, versus today I think I had a moment of just being like, yeah, fuck this. Like, fuck all these things are being said. Or like Kim Jong-un, like, with, the fact is that he's probably got, well, I won't say the fact is, allegedly there's, you know, concentration camps and, you know, all of these things happening in North Korea. I started to reflect on my own sort of, maybe laughing at some of the shit that he does, you know, and I, posts that you see on social media about him, and you think about, actually, there is a lot of people who are affected by this regime, and we don't even really know the limits of how bad that is.
It's everything's playing out in a different way, because in a civilized country, they're not going to do what happened. Well, at this point, they're not going to do what happened in Auschwitz now. But things are playing out completely differently, so we're seeing stuff in a new way. So, like, you know, living...
Well, what's going to stop it from happening? I guess the thing is that it's the Nazis were hiding. You know, they were open about the fact that they had concentration camps. What they were trying to hide was the fact of the mass murders, the killings. Mm. And so, that's the thing. It's... Yeah, I just think that... I walked away thinking to be more skeptical of things rather than just sort of accepting that it could never happen in 2018. And sort of saying to reflect and being like, actually, if I was put into this situation today, if I was rounded up, put onto a train, I mean, I'm soft as fuck. So I can't even handle the slight sore throat that I have right now.
You're finished.
So it does give you that. Yeah, you do get a little bit of that sort of perspective. But
I've spoken a lot with friends and I've said about, like, if a world war happened again, I was like, as if. Yeah. And when you go to a place like New York or LA, it's like, as if there's going to be missiles coming in and hitting New York City, or, like, you know, like what it was like in London. There was bombs, you know, bombs being dropped over London. I was like, as if that's ever going to happen. But the way that I think it will happen is probably not how it would happen. if it was going to. It would be different war.
I mean, like, not to become like a conspiracy theorist show or stuff like that, but they could shut down like the whole electrical grid or whatever in Australia. Like, what would happen if we lost electricity? Like, if they there's a lot of talk. I made a documentary on sort of around agriculture and stuff at the end of last year, and there's all these people who their jobs are in food security. Mm. So basically, it's making sure that that we have food, that we're growing our own produce versus being reliant on other countries.
Yeah, I tell you what, the dude who orders Uber Eats 5 days a week would be fucked, and that person's you.
Yeah. That's probably, well, not at the moment, but Krakow does have Uber Eats.
Oh, get so out of here. Have you jumped onto the app?
It's definitely an option.
And had a look?
Nah, haven't bothered. The food is just so inexpensive. The food has been so good. The coffee has been so good. Seriously,
really?
If anyone's going to Europe and they're trying to work out where to go, Poland is, I think, a must, especially like where we've been in Krakow. Like, it's perfect to be able to go and just experience Auschwitz and go there and gain a new perspective. And, you know, you'll still be probably as naive as I am, but if you just gain like a tiny bit more perspective, and I think it's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I think you've liked the... I didn't think anything of Poland. Like, before you went there, I thought you would enjoy Italy and the coast. But
Italy for me was a little bit more... Italy felt like more like a third world country. Italy reminded me a bit of like parts of Southeast Asia. Like, you walk in front of... like, walk onto the road and you'll get hit by a car type of deal. Like, they're pretty crazy. Whereas Poland is just like super civilized, really lovely. Mm. All of our interactions have been great. And it's from a price point of view too. It's like we're paying like 70, 80 bucks a night for this apartment we're staying in. It's really nice,
want.
Great area. So but the one thing I would suggest is go on to I've just gone blank on the name. I'll link it in the show notes. What is it called? I always go on to it. Nomad List. There we go. I won't link it in the show notes because I'm lazy. Nomad List, if you Google that, basically you can rank all different cities depending on the cost of living. So say if you're trying to do like what Bree and I are doing, where we're like zigging and zagging from expensive places to cheaper places, you can see, how much does coffee cost at this place? How much would a bottle of Coke cost? How much would accommodation cost for a month? All of that sort of information, which is cool.
Just quickly before we finish up, and while I've got the taste of 7-Eleven coffee in my mouth, not even a sponsor, but we bloody give them a lot of shout-outs. What coffee have you been drinking in Poland?
Flat white.
With what milk?
Just bloody dairy.
Just straight dairy.
Yeah. Since leaving Melbourne, I've left my almond milk sort of shtick behind and just going for... just not wanting to complicate it, because I feel like almond milk can be such sort of a hit and miss type of thing.
Mm. Yeah. When I'm traveling, I go with the coffee that they can stuff up the least. And that's usually just either one with milk or...
espresso and stuff.
Yeah, espresso. Yeah. That's... I mean, if you're just wanting a hit. But it's interesting.
Yeah, no. Poland is really great. And the other thing too, which I never used to do, we started doing on this trip, we've done it in probably four or so cities, is the free walking tours. So they go for like an hour and a half normally, a couple of hours, 2.5 hours, whatever, and basically you just give them a tip at the end. So for the Poland one, like for Krakow, I think we probably gave the equivalent of 15 Australian dollars, and you just learn, you get to get a few steps in, walk around, get a sense of the place, learn the history.
When you get back,
better than go on.
Can we do a walking tour of Melbourne? Because I'm sure
absolutely.
This shit would learn.
Not only that, I was thinking that it would be cool. I was like, man, I wonder what it would take to give a tour. like what, how much information we would need to be able to, like, I wonder what the training's like. But I did have a moment of like, oh, I wouldn't mind doing it. But the problem is, then they would ask me where the, what the biggest mountain is in Australia, and I would just sort of crumble.
You know, so, what? I could do the tour of all the naughty shit I used to do in the city. Here's where we used to buy fireworks. Good. Here's where we used
to
access.
This is where I vomited on the corner.
Yeah. Here's where we used to access the subway system through a secret entrance. But yeah, definitely. Here's the best kebab shop when you're pissed at 3 a.m. So I've got it covered.
It's early where you are. It's not that late where I am, but because I've been up since 5 o'clock, I'm starting to feel it. So word of the day will start back again on Monday, and that will be our 150th episode. So we need people to email us hi@thedailytalkshow.com. We'll do a lightning round of word of the day, and we'll include multiple words as a celebration. Up to 50 words, I'm going to say, to celebrate 150.
Just
probably we'll get three.
Just between you and I, Josh, I didn't think that was how we'd celebrate our 150th show.
Really, mate? I know. I've gone all out. I know you weren't expecting it, but
where are you going to be for Monday's show?
I'll be in... It depends when we... Yeah, I'll be in Paris.
Oh, amazing.
We're meeting our mates in Paris, and then we're heading to the south of France. So that's what our week entails.
Amazing. Will you awesome, enjoy mate. Yourself?
All right. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Hope you have a great weekend, and feel free to send us emails. We like hearing from you. We've been getting a bunch from Michelle, from Trev.
Russ.
Trying to think who else. Russ. And yeah, we love hearing from you. So feel free to email us hi@thedailytalkshow.com. We'll see you on Monday for episode 150. Catch ya.